I don't wanna be the boy that runs in the back. I don't wanna be the kid that falls in the dark. All I really want to be is the guy that gets that girl.
Welcome to the AJ Steele Show. We discuss politics, sex, money, and everything in between. And now, here's your host, an immigrant, a self-made millionaire, an American, AJ Steele.
Everything I say and do, I'm just not good.
Hello to everyone out there in podcast land and radio land. Welcome back to the AJ Steele Show, where we tell truth to power and we give power to the truth. In today's show, we're going to discuss some explosive topics. And anyone with a brain and a sense of justice always thought of these things, but nobody ever dared to speak of them. The two topics we're going to talk about today are based on these two questions. The first one is this. When did the white man become the proverbial nigger of the world? It was my impression that the civil rights movement in the 60s took care of that, that no human being, no member of any kind of racial group would ever be treated as a second-class citizen because of race, creed, or color. And my second question is this. Is it okay for young female high school teachers to sleep with their teenage boy students? And why is it happening so frequently? Part two of the question is this. Is there any comparison between pedophiles and regular men who just happen to be womanizers? In today's anti-man world, it seems like there's no difference at all between any of those men whatsoever. We're going to talk about pedophiles versus garden variety sexual harassers. I do believe that there's different levels of sickness. I don't think everybody's the same. I don't think a Harvey Weinstein or even a Charlie Rose are in the same category as a Michael Jackson or Kevin Spacey. Pedophiles deserve a special place in hell. And I don't think there's any kind of doubt in anybody's mind that these people are no good and they should probably be executed if it was my way and if I was running things, but unfortunately I'm not. But I do think that there's a lot murkier waters and a lot more questions about people who are powerful and may sleep with beautiful younger women. I'm not talking about kids or anything like that. I'm talking about adults. I think there's a lot of questions about those things and what is the role of the media and what is the role of the Me Too movement and also what is the role of the women who put themselves in these situations? What are they looking for? Are they always there with that older, disgusting guy because they love him, because they want his company? Or is it that they're also searching for something and maybe pissed off later on when they don't get that thing that they were searching for? Maybe fame, money, marriage? I don't know. Men are definitely not angels, but I think it's the same for women. There are many women out there who are devious. There are many women out there who are looking for something and are willing to do whatever it takes to get that something, even if it means suing or lying about certain men. So in the name of fairness, I think we need to look at both sides, and it's going to be a great discussion. But first, I have a question for all of my listeners. Can a minority be racist? According to the media and all the pontificators, only white people can be racist. Why is it that they're so accepting and matter-of-fact supportive of blatant racism and dismissiveness against Western culture? Against white people, and in particular, against white males. In other words, when did the white man become the proverbial nigger of the world? Yes, I know I'm using some tough words, but it's true. Why is it okay to completely bag, completely attack, completely destroy, completely disrespect and abuse white men with impunity? Is it only white men that are racist? There's no black racists? There's no Hispanic racists? Remember La Raza, the race? What if a white group was called the race? What would happen? What would the media do to them? I went to college with lots of Asians, and some of them, many of them, are completely racist. They're completely racist against black people. They're completely racist against Hispanics, against other Asians, and even against white people. So why is it that only white men or white people in general are attacked for racism? And when is this going to end? Where is this going to lead to? All that and much, much more when I get back to the AJ Steele Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
In the dark, all I really want to be is the guy that gets the girl.
The AJ Steele Show. Think of your loudmouth best friend, hated by all the wives, because he tells it just like it is.
You finally see.
Welcome back to the AJ Steele Show. So I wake up this morning and I see this article by Tom Elliott on Grabian News, and he reads this way. Former Vice President and likely 2020 presidential candidate Joe Biden attacked the United States' white men's culture during an appearance at the Biden Courage Awards, which honors those working to combat sexual assault on college campuses. Genius Joe Biden said that America's racist culture is why Anita Hill wasn't able to stop Clarence Thomas' nomination to the Supreme Court. Wait a minute. Isn't Judge Clarence Thomas black? I think he is. I don't think he changed colors. So how is it racism that stopped her from stopping him from becoming Supreme Court Justice? And so this low IQ, chomper teeth, hair plugs and all, white boy Biden continues. First of all, why are we even talking about Anita Hill? Wasn't that in the 80s when Uncle Joe was only 60? Is the guy just stuck in a Back to the Future episode? Is that what it is? Okay, let's continue. There were a bunch of white guys, he said. No, I mean it sincerely. A bunch of white guys hearing this testimony in the Senate Judiciary Committee. So when Anita Hill came to testify, she faced a committee that didn't fully understand what the hell he's all about. To this day, I regret I couldn't come up with a way to get the kind of hearing she deserved. Let me see, Biden. So you are sorry that you didn't get her a respectful hearing like Judge Kavanaugh deserved when he was attacked by Democrats of all colors and Democrats of both genders? The same hearing when he was falsely accused of being a serial rapist? Is that the kind of respect you're talking about for Anita Hill? Where were you when Kavanaugh was being destroyed, huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Kavanaugh was white. I'm sorry. I forgot. So I guess he didn't deserve any kind of respect. And then this moronic, pandering, self-hating white boy Biden continues. This is English jurisprudential culture, a white man's culture that's got to change. It's got to change. Okay, I see. I guess we need to emulate the Muslim culture where young girls are treated like chattel and get to have clitorectomies so they don't have unwanted sexual desires or feel like cheating. Or how about the way Muslim women are not allowed to drive and are regularly beaten, sexually abused, sometimes stoned to death? Not to mention that they have to wear these silly hijabs that cover their whole body with only tiny eyelets so they can see? Is that the great culture he's talking about that's better than the white culture? Or how about the culture in India where young girls are forced to marry disgusting old men, where gang rapes of women happen on buses all the time and they're not even punished by the law? Is that the kind of system Biden's talking about that's so superior to the white system? Well, let's talk some more. What about the lovely South American culture? Everybody loves South Americans. I mean, women are treated as second-class citizens. They're raped and murdered on a daily basis. How about African culture, where numerous young women are kidnapped and held as sex slaves? Is that the kind of system we want to emulate? Is that the kind of system that self-hating, self-apologizing moron Biden wants to emulate? And this dummy wants to be president. Can you believe it? Just like his dummy puppet master, Obama, another America hater-in-chief. Seriously, Biden, he hates white people and he's white. White America gave him everything. White America gave most people that live here everything. People love to live here. People from other countries who are minorities are begging to come into our country. Why is it that all these people from South America and from Asia and from Africa, why is it that they're all clamoring to come into this horrible, white, oppressive system? Tell me that, you pandering fool, Biden. More importantly, why is it open season on Western civilization, on white culture, on white people, for heaven's sake? When did it become okay to abuse a whole race of people? When did it become okay for the media to constantly parrot these talking points? When did our society start falling apart? And why is it that the liberals and the left-wing media constantly pull us apart to the point that we're bursting at the seams? There's nothing good that's going to come out of this, because what's going to happen is this, in my opinion. At some point, white people who are oppressed or being constantly put down are going to rise up. And it's not going to be good because they are still a majority in this country and they're going to be sick and tired of their children, their grandchildren, their family members being put down. These nonstop attacks are going to end up in violence. And violence is not something I want to see in this country. We should treat everyone with full respect. Every race, every minority, every one of the two genders, male and female. Everybody needs to be treated with respect, or the explosion that's going to happen, and I'm not looking forward to it, is going to be so large and so ugly that it will destroy all of our lives and all the great things we have going for us here in America. You can only push people so far. You can only push people so far. And if the left-wing media and the ruling class and all the America-hating left-wing professors don't stop, there's going to be some consequences that were not intended or forecasted. The great Abraham Lincoln, a guy who presided over a civil war in America, said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." I suggest we all heed his masterful prophetic words. This is the AJ Steele Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the AJ Steele Show, where no topic is off limits, no discussion too harsh, no truth more true. The AJ Steele Show. We tell it like it is.
All I really want to be is a guy that gets a girl. All I really want to be.
Welcome back to the AJ Steele Show, where all the opinions are my own. Michael Jackson, pedophile, versus R. Kelly. Are they the same? How about Jerry Sandusky, the sicko coach who had sex with his students in bathrooms and showers? What about that fat and disgusting Jared Fogle from Subway sandwiches and Kevin Spacey? Are they the same as a Mike Tyson who supposedly raped an 18-year-old beauty contestant who somehow found her way into his hotel room? Or Pee Wee Herman, who was caught masturbating in an adult theater? How about Bill Cosby, who drugged women, versus a guy like Charlie Rose, a noted feminist who just liked to show his wiener to a lot of younger interns? How about Harvey Weinstein, another progressive liberal beauty? Is he the same as a Bill Cosby? I can keep going. Roman Polanski slept with a 13-year-old girl, Al Franken, who made some gestures in a photo, Bill Clinton. What about Ron Jeremy, a famous porn star, is being accused of sexual abuse? Gene Simmons, a rock star, Sylvester Stallone? Yes, even Rocky, the guy who said, "Yo, Adrian," even he's being accused of sexual assault now. But why is it that nobody ever asks any questions of the women who came up to their hotel rooms or their houses or their cars and wanted to hang out with them? Don't they bear some kind of a responsibility? Give me a break. You think those girls are innocent girls? You think they come to these people's home, these dirty old guys' home, just to hang out and what, play Monopoly or rock, paper, scissors? Those gals know exactly what they're getting into, and if they say they don't, they're either mentally retarded or they're just plain liars. Everybody knows about the casting couch. It's been around since Hollywood began. It's actually been around since ancient times, probably the Roman plays, the Greek plays, ancient Egypt. This is the oldest story in the world. Powerful men, beautiful girls. What do you think? You think it's not a transaction? You think the men don't expect something from those girls? And you think those girls don't expect something back? So what has changed? I'll tell you what has changed. Lawsuits, the ability to make a lot of money suing these guys, and also PR. A lot of these women didn't get what they wanted. They didn't become movie stars. They didn't become their wives, and they decide to just get attention by suing or by besmirching their names. But let's be fair. What were they doing there in the first place? Okay, let's continue with some more examples. And for the older crowd, how about the King, Elvis Presley? How about Chuck Berry? Both of them dated and probably had sex with 14-year-old girls. And Jerry Lee Lewis, he actually married his 13-year-old cousin, Myra. Are they all harassers? I think we need to look at all those things very carefully. I think norms have changed. I think things have changed. And we can't paint everyone with the same broad stroke brush. This segment is a very difficult one. And it will make some people angry. And some people may rethink today's Me Too movement. And the Don't Rape Me gals that push the fake narrative that every man is a rapist, no matter what. Before I start today's discussion, I want to make one thing clear. No man or woman should ever sexually force themselves on any other human being. I also believe that pedophiles are sickos who will never get better from their sickness, and they need to be either executed or locked away for life. There's no ifs, ends, or buts about it. And I don't give a damn about their miserable childhoods or excuses of why they turn out this way. Hurting children creates lifelong damage that can destroy whole families, multiple generations, and anyone that may come in contact with these poor abused kids. So no excuses are accepted by me. Forget about it. Put them in jail or kill them. And now that I got this belief system out of my way, I want to talk about today's Me Too movement out to destroy any man who has testosterone and sexual drive. But let's start with the definitions. The worst kind of sickness out there is pedophilia. It is the attraction to prepubescent boys and girls. In my opinion, this sickness cannot be healed or cured, so there's no point to trying to do any kind of rehab with these people. Sexual assault or rape is when force is immediate, of short duration, or infrequent. In my opinion, once a rapist is always a rapist. Even though we need to be very careful about the definition of rape. My definition is very different than today's all men are rapist mantra. In other words, is it rape when two people are drunk and engage in sex? Think about that. The next in line is sexual abuse, which is defined as undesired sexual behavior by one person upon another. Again, there's a lot of gray areas in this definition and many different perspectives. Last but not least is sexual harassment, which is defined as unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, and other verbal or physical conduct of sexual nature that leads to create a hostile or offensive work environment. This is a tough one because we all know that a man or a woman who punishes or withholds promotions or promises promotions in trade for sexual behavior is harassment. But what about normal flirting between men and women or women and men at work? How would you know if someone likes you or not if you don't come on to them? Where do you draw the line between flirting or testing the waters and sexual harassment? It seems like men are always left holding the short end of the stick. In general, they're the ones always blamed for sexual harassment, with a few exceptions, of course. And I have personal experience in this field. I used to run a huge corporation with over 1,000 employees. And I had many women, many of my employees, that came on to me, made sexual jokes, sexual innuendos, touchy-feely here and there, and full-out propositions to have sex with them. Now, I didn't make a big deal out of it. I didn't think much of it. I think it's a normal situation between men and women. None of them were harassing me, so to speak, but I guess if I did the same to them, that would be considered harassment. Now, why is that? Why is it that human beings can't flirt with each other? Why is it that we can't just talk to each other and have some kind of sexual tension between us without it always becoming a legal matter? That is the point of this whole discussion. Human beings have been sexual forever. It's a part of our genetic makeup. Even religious people believe in sexuality within the sanctity of a marriage. But I don't think it's possible for men and women to be together without some kind of a sexual tension. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as the job site or the school or whatever the situation is kept professional and there's no true harassment of each other. In my opinion, there's nothing wrong with complimenting a woman when she looks pretty or when she looks nice or she's wearing a nice dress. And vice versa. There's no problem if a woman tells a guy, you look nice today, you look handsome. If the feminists had their way, you couldn't even think about a woman anymore, or even smile at her or look at her in any kind of way, because that would be considered sexual harassment. And where does that leave humanity? Are we ever going to procreate? Are we ever going to marry? Are we ever going to have children? None of that stuff would happen if there wasn't that give and take between men and women. It almost seems like the Me Too movement, the feminists of today, have this agenda that is anti-man, but not just anti-man, but anti-tradition. Anti-family, anti-anything and everything that is normal, anything and everything that is within the laws of nature or even the laws of the Bible for religious people. I think it's a big political movement. I think it's all about money. It's all about getting rid of the white male patriarchy, as they call it. I think they want to put more females in power, more beta males, more minorities. Everything in this world has to do with money. Power and money. And I think this is all about changing the way things are. It's about upending the norms. It's about upending the old world order. It's about creating a new world order where these feminists and all their enablers are the new powerful and the new rich. Interestingly enough, I think that if you dig deep enough and to see who are the enablers, who are the people sponsoring all these crazy feminists, you'd find out that it's men. Very rich men like Tom Steyer, George Soros, the Koch brothers, men who stand to gain a lot of money and a lot of financial gain and power from all these supposedly altruistic, women-centric movements that have nothing to do with women and everything to do with changing the world order and moving the money from the hands of one group to the hands of another. Wow, what a heavy topic. When we get back in a few seconds, we're going to discuss a seemingly new phenomena. Young female teachers who are married in many cases, who end up having sex or sleeping with their teenage students. We're also going to talk about men who are accused of sexual misconduct, men like Michael Jackson, R. Kelly, Jerry Sandusky, and compare them to other guys like Al Franken, Charlie Rose, Harvey Weinstein. Are they all the same? Is there any difference between them? We'll be right back, so don't go anywhere. This is the AJ Steele Show.
AJ Steele, not right, not left, just right.
Welcome back to the AJ Steele Show. I appreciate all of you that listen to us on podcasts and on broadcasts throughout the country. Lately, it seems like I've been seeing a lot of articles, a lot of TV shows, a lot of internet articles about female teachers, women who are between the ages of 20 to 30 most of the time, mostly attractive women who end up sleeping with their students. These students, a lot of times, are anywhere from the age of 13 to 16, maybe 17 tops. It used to be a big deal when you read about those kind of women. And I remember being a young man and all my buddies saying, God, how come we didn't have a teacher like that when we were kids? Where were all these beautiful, hot teachers that sleep with the students? The kind of teachers we had were always fat and extremely old, and they kind of smelled funny. They had that mothball smell. They have those ugly sweaters and those clunky shoes, and sometimes they had those special those socks that you wear when you have diabetes or high blood pressure. I never had any hot teachers, and not even in my dreams would I ever say no to a hot teacher like that when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and older. But I wasn't lucky enough to have teachers like that. But I want to explore this phenomena, the bigger picture of this phenomena, and why is this happening? Why are these women, these young women who are teachers and presumably college graduates and presumably also take classes that teach them how to interact with students, why is it that they're so horny for their students? And not only that, a lot of these women seem to have husbands. You know, some of them have kids. They're sending these kids, and I mean kids of their own, no pun intended about having kids. Now, I know this is not supposed to be funny and it's not supposed to be cute, but I can't help but smile. I guess it's just being a man, or maybe being a sexist pig. Is that what I am? I don't know. We all remember in the early 90s, or was it the mid-90s, there was a lady named Mary Kay Letourneau. She was a teacher, and she fell in love with her sixth grader, and they had a baby together, and she ended up going to jail, and later they married, and I think they're divorced now. But that was the exception back then. That wasn't the rule. It wasn't every week that you saw photos online of beautiful young teachers being carted off to jail for being pedophiles. Now, to be fair, it is possible that this used to happen in older times as well. But with the advent of media and the 24-hour news cycle, we just hear about these things a lot quicker and they're just out there for everyone to see. But let's presuppose that it was different back then, that teachers were respectful. They were like the old ladies that we all remember, and not like these hot new tarts that are sleeping with their students. So what is the psychology behind this? What would make a 25, a 26, a 30-year-old woman want to sleep with a teenager, with a young man? What is the attraction here? Especially if she's married and has a full life. So there's a couple of different ideas about this that people have. One of them goes to the point of it's just exciting because they're young and the teachers get to feel like they're superior, they're the boss, they're in control, where in their own home life, they're not necessarily in control. So they feel like, oh, I'm the teacher, literally, and the kids that they sleep with are their students. There's something to that. Some women feel more empowered when they are with weaker men or these younger men who definitely seem like they look up to these teachers and they're not as smart as the teachers, they're not as life savvy. That could be a part of the attraction. There's other attractions. Some people think that these are neglected women. Their husbands don't pay attention to them. They rather hang out with the guys, you know, in the bars. They rather play pool. They rather go drive their car or whatever, and they don't pay attention to their wives. And they just need to find a ready-made lover. And as you know, or as any man knows, all of us at a young age, I would say starting around 13, we were horny as heck, and we had so much energy. Now, we didn't know what to do with that energy. At least most of us didn't. I didn't, for sure. But some of the guys in school were quite large physically, and they were quite capable sexually, or at least they were definitely sexually active. The rest of us kind of just looked in envy, but that's how he was. But I don't even think this is the reason why these teachers sleep with those kids. I think it's something deeper than that, and I think it has to do with the way our society treats men now. And maybe these young teachers find that kind of animal in a young teenage boy. The reason being is that the boys are not yet ruined by what society expects from them. There's still some kind of rawness to them. There's some kind of a pure sexuality to them that grown men don't have anymore because we've been stifled. These teenage boys are not politically correct in any way. They're not stifled like we are. They're not too worried about hurting somebody's feelings. They just want to have sex. That's all we wanted in high school. That's all a high school boy ever wanted, is a chance to have sex. And with a teacher, a hot teacher especially, wow, what a scoop. Now don't start in on me about, oh, these teachers shouldn't have done that and they're pedophiles. I'm not even discussing that at all. First of all, I don't think that they're pedophiles, but I think that they're wrong. I think a teacher should not be involved romantically with any of their students. I think it's not a normal behavior, and I think it's extremely wrong, especially when an older woman has a relationship with a younger man. They're not mature enough. They might be mature enough physically for sex, but they're definitely not mature enough emotionally to carry on a relationship and all the aftermaths that go along with having a relationship like that. So these teachers should be jailed, and they should be looked at from a psychological standpoint. Either or, I think it's an interesting phenomenon, and it's something that we need to discuss in a serious manner because it's a new issue. It's something that is happening. We can't just close our eyes. We can't just stick our heads in the sand anymore. It's something that we need to be considered of, and we need to think about how to deal with these issues in the future and how to prevent them from ever happening again. I will close with this, and this is just me. I'm not talking about any other boy, any other kid, any mother's child, any father's child. I'm talking about myself. I wish I had a teacher like that when I was in high school. Unfortunately, we are now out of time, and I will not be able to discuss some of the topics I said I would discuss earlier. I promise to bring them up in a future show, but it's just not going to happen today, and for that, you have my full apologies. This is AJ Steele. I hope you enjoyed our show. I certainly enjoyed talking to you, and I hope you come back for more. If you want to contact us, you can email me at ajsteeleshow@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is ajsteeleshow, and also you can check out our website at ajsteeleshow.com. Take care and see you soon.
I don't want to be the boy that runs in the back. I don't want to be the kid that falls in the dark. All I really want to be is a guy that gets that girl. Don't lip like Brad Pitt. Don't smile like DiCaprio. Don't dunk like Kobe. Don't swing like DiMaggio. Everything I say and do, I'm just not good enough for you. Don't kick like Bruce Lee. Don't fly like Superman. Not smart like Einstein. Don't rap like Eminem. Everything I say and do, I'm just not good enough for you. I don't wanna be the boy that runs in the back. I don't wanna be the kid that falls in the dark. All I really want to be is a guy that gets the girl. Don't sing like Howard, and don't cry like a pussy. Don't spend like a millionaire. Everything I say and do, I'm just not good enough for you. I don't wanna be the boy that runs in the back. I don't wanna be the kid that falls in the dark. All I really want to be is the guy that gets the girl.
AJ Steele Show, copyrighted 2019.